On this episode, we review the Edison at Disney Springs. This is episode 121 of the Main Street Magic Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and I'm joined, as always, by my wife, Rhonda.
Hi, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at mainstmagic. And if you have not done so already, go out to Facebook and search for the Capture the Magic community and ask to join. And you also want to listen to the Capture the Magic podcast with Jared and Jamie Lee at ctmpodcast.com. They release new shows every Monday and Tuesday, and then Jared and I release a new Diz Dudes every Wednesday on that same feed. And here at Main Street Magic, we have new shows on Tuesday and Friday, so the Capture the Magic Network has you covered all week long. And if you have not already gone out to joffreyscoffee.com and used code CTM20 at checkout to save 20%, you might want to go ahead and go out and do that. You can save 20% off your entire order. And if your order is $50 or more, they're going to give you free shipping anyway. Really good deal. We are happy to have them on board as one of our sponsors. And finally, if you're booking your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, or Universal Orlando vacation, reach out to Melissa Pilgrim with Ears of Experience. You can email her at mpilgrim@themouseexperts.com. She will help get you the best rates, the best deals. She can help you with your dining reservations, your fast passes, kind of take all the stress out of planning a Disney vacation for you, except for the paying part. You still have to pay for the vacation.
But just not her.
Just not her. Her services are completely free.
Yes.
So we are coming to you live. I guess it's live at the moment we're recording it. It won't be live when you hear this. from our room at Pop Century. And we are currently in Disney for a little bit, and that's why this episode is coming out a day late. We dined at the Edison for dinner yesterday and then got back to the room, crashed early. So we had to be up at 3:30 this morning for the wine and dine 10K. 3:15 this morning. Every minute matters when it's that
It does.
3:15 this morning for the wine and dine 10K. And we will do another episode completely on the Run Disney events and some of the virtual races as well. So you'll get to hear all about that. So today we're talking the Edison. This has been open now for almost a year. Actually, I think they're right around the year mark.
Okay.
Because I think it was last December that John and I went there, and it was about a week or two after they had opened.
That's right.
So we're right around their 1 year anniversary. This is in Disney Springs. And on their website, it says, experience a clever tribute to an era fueled by invention and imagination. Designed to look like a 1920s electric company, the Edison exudes an air of romance and old world sophistication. You can anticipate expansive 35-foot ceilings and a range of themed areas. So there are all these little sections. It's two stories, and they are kind of broken up, and there's some great lounge areas. There's regular dining areas. There's three or four total bars. And then during the evening, they have a steady lineup of unique acts like contortionists, aerialists, live cabaret, DJs, and more to keep you entertained and on your toes.
What time does it say what time that starts on there? Because
I know 10 o'clock is when it becomes 18 and over. So it may be that it's the 10 o'clock. I know when I was still here and I met up with Jared and Matt, we went there to grab a drink and there was a live band playing covers.
Okay.
But that was probably around the 10 o'clock mark.
Okay.
They do have roaming, and we did not see any last night, but I saw one when I was there in the middle of the day, the roaming inventors.
Okay.
And they actually come around. They have like little science projects that they'll show you, and they'll come sit like right at your table or right next to you at the bar.
And we didn't see anything last night, and we left around, what, 8-ish?
Yeah, close to eight. Yeah, eight-ish or so. So I'm not sure if it just, they weren't in the area we were.
Right.
But there was a woman walking on stilts.
Yes.
Throughout for picture opportunities, things like that. And this is one of your late night spots in Disney. You've got Sunday through Wednesday. They open up for lunch at 11:30 a.m. They don't close till 1 a.m. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they open up at 11:30 a.m. and don't close till 2 a.m.
Wow.
So this is your late night spot.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I mean.
We could have gone there and stayed till 2 and then.
And then we would have come back here and they started doing grab and go items at the Everything Pop at 2:45 a.m. And we could have just never slept.
Yeah.
We'll do that next year.
No.
So, you know, this is made to look like an old 1920s electric company. It's the Edison. You know, what did you think of the atmosphere? Because this is your first time in the building, right? I've been in here a few times.
Yes. Yes.
What did you think of the atmosphere? And kind of just, I guess, explain a little bit about what this feels like.
It was really cool because when you walk in, there's a giant clock on the wall. And it is, I guess, how you explain open, where you see all the gears.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Yeah. There was
and all those gears are moving, and it's literally changing the time right in front of you.
Time was
the seconds,
right, yep. And there was a second clock that was the gears, and just watching that was really neat. And then what was really neat, too, is where you're at, and you come in, you go downstairs. So it's almost like you come in upstairs and you go.
Yeah. Well, there is some smaller dining upstairs because it's almost like catwalks that go through the upstairs because John and I ate upstairs.
Oh, okay.
So there's not a ton up there, but there is a bar up there. And then there's some of that small dining. And you're right. It's the host and hostess stand is right there. But the majority of people are now going down, you know, a flight to where the main dining and two more huge bars and the entertainment and everything is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this place. I mean, you know, it says 1920s, steampunk, goth. That's exactly what it is. Lots of exposed brick and wood.
It's really cool.
It's kind of got your speakeasy thing. If you've ever been to the speakeasy type bars where most of the guys were in suspenders and had beards and, you know, and they're handcrafting drinks. And they're known, obviously, very much for their drink menu.
Which I only got Pinot Grigio as normal.
Right. Yeah. And
only two because getting up so early and just a nice
and they have,
relaxing.
They've got about six wines on hand, as far as whites go. They have about seven or eight reds. They do have sparkling and dry and sweet. No, that's actually a lot more reds and whites. I was looking at something else, but they have signature cocktails like, that run $14 each. You have the Edison, which is bourbon, pear brandy, lemon honey cordial. You've got Time Turner, Crusian white rum, Campari, I don't know what that is, lime juice, pineapple, and orgeat. Your electric mule.
Oh, that's like a...
I think that's what... I'm pretty sure that's what I had when I went with John was the electric mule. That's your Moscow mule.
Right, so why is it electric?
It's just because their name. Yeah, it's the Edison. They're just calling it electric. Right. Something else you can get if you are there with a large group is their signature punch bowls.
Is that like the one
that we had at Ice Plant in St. Augustine? We got a punch bowl. This serves 8 to 10 people. Yeah, and there's crazy. There's four different punch bowls. For example, you have like the green Electron is tart and smooth concoction of Tito's vodka, fresh lemon juice, homemade honey, and refreshing green tea, all poured into one. That actually sounds delicious.
That sounds good.
But they're going to bring it out, I assume, because this is probably just like Ice Plant, which is like a speakeasy type bar in St. Augustine near us. They're going to bring it out in a giant punch bowl, and they're going to bring you your punch, your ladle. I guess it is. And they're going to bring you your different cups for everybody in the party. And I mean, let's be honest, at $100, if you had 8 to 10 people and you each got one full drink out of this, that's better than the $14 per regular drink they're charging you. So,
well, and hopefully it's better than the Ice Plant.
Right. The one we got at the Ice Plant was, that was strong. That one put hair on your chest. It stings the nostrils.
Yes.
it was something. And then they do have, and I guess we could have done this for the girls, but they had already had so much soda and stuff during the day. They do have a selection of mocktails for $7. I have seen out, and I can't remember who it was, that I saw out on Twitter that the wife doesn't drink alcohol and has had the mocktails here and said they're outstanding.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, you can get a apple cider, honey syrup, lemon juice with ginger ale,
nice.
A lemon elixir, lemonade, raspberry syrup, club soda. So very similar almost to like a Shirley Temple.
Awesome.
So yeah, drinks are mainly what they are known for. And then you do have a lunch menu, you have a dinner menu. They're pretty much the exact same except for price. Lunch
really?
Is a, like $2 cheaper, $3
cheaper.
But
it's cheaper. The same meals.
Yeah, it's pretty much everything is the same. All the appetizers are the same price, but I noticed, like, for example, the Edison burger for lunch is $19. For dinner, it is $22.
And it's the same burger.
Yeah. So, you want to go during lunch,
if you
want to
save some money, yeah.
So, let's talk about what we ate. And, okay. Again, I'm not going to, Rhonda hates when I read through entire menus because you people are smart enough just to look them up. But some things they are known for are they're deviled eggs with crisp potatoes and sliced speck. These are $12.
We were going to try those, but I know that there's mustard and a traditional deviled egg. I know that there's mustard. And I asked and she said yes. So we didn't do that, even though Lazy actually wanted some as well. But, you know, I didn't know how many there'd be and I didn't want to try to eat.
And we knew we were each getting a full meal, which we never do. If we knew we were splitting a meal or we were just here for apps, we totally would have gotten them. And then you could have just tried them, told me, you know, if there was tons of disgusting mustard flavor in them. One of the other things they're known for is their Electra fries, which are El Burbank hand cut potatoes, Edison special sauce, bacon, grated Parmesan cheese, chopped green onion for $12. I don't like when places say special sauce. Just tell me what it is, because that could be anything. I just think it sounds gross. Like, I mean, this is going to be, I assume, gravy, because these are basically disco fries.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be gravy, but then just say Edison.
What kind of gravy?
Say Edison brown gravy, whatever. Don't call it special sauce. That's gross. So we ended up going with the DB Clothesline Candied Bacon.
That you have had before.
Yeah, and I can only assume the DB is from DB Cooper, who was the guy that... because I think that was the 1920s. He heisted a plane and stole like $100,000 in cash and jumped out. Nobody ever found him.
Yep.
In fact, if you have never seen Without a Paddle,
that's a good
movie. That
movie
is hilarious, and it revolves around finding D.B. Cooper's treasure.
That's funny.
I don't think I realized that was in the name. So this is maple, black pepper, fruit, mostarda, and then sweet and spicy pickles come with this for $15. If you haven't seen this dish, then apparently you're not on social media, because when this came out, it was everywhere on social media.
Yeah.
It is literally a small clothesline, tabletop clothesline, with four pieces of candied bacon hanging from it.
Yep.
And your little sauce is the fruit mostarda, and then you have a little thing of sweet and spicy pickles. What did you think of it? Because when John and I had it, because he said something this morning about we're all four pieces good. When we had it, the first two we ate were like almost undercooked. And then the next pieces we ate were awesome. So we were kind of 2 out of 4 when we did this.
Okay.
What did you think about last night with this?
Well, for one, she also was recommending that, or like saying that that's the top one to get.
Yeah.
It was great. Lacey loved it. Yeah. I think she ate two pieces. And all of it was really good, and it all looked the same.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit stuff.
Mostarda.
Okay.
Mostarda.
Fruit mostarda that we dipped it in was actually good. And it was funny because Lacey and I like pickles, and Lacey took a pickle and ate it. And it was quite funny because it was spicy, and
they were pretty spicy.
Yeah. They're buttered spicy pickles. But it was hysterical because she was like, ha. And then I tasted one and I was like, ooh, she was right. It is spicy, but really good. I actually ate the last one because it was really good.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it seemed like I didn't eat all four pieces, of course, but it seemed like all four pieces were perfectly prepared. This is like the showstopper. This is the one that you sit down, and of course they're going to recommend it as their appetizer that everybody gets. But as you see a waiter or waitress walk through with it, you're like, what is that? Why is there bacon hanging from a clothesline? If only we got that in the rooms. They have the little clothesline things that's in the shower. You should come in and there should just be bacon hanging from it in the Disney Resort. Okay, so mustarda, I don't care for this at all. And I ate some. Somebody should warn me about these things. It's a northern Italian condiment made of candied fruit and a mustard flavored syrup. Ugh. Because I had some. I certainly didn't taste mustard in it. But you got to warn people when there's hidden ingredients like mustard in something like that.
Well, you just don't.
I guess it's called, well, it's mostarda. They should call it mustarda. Then at least I would be like, you hey, the word that. Mustard. No, it's M-O-S-T-A-R-D-A. If they spelled it M-U, then I'd be like, wait a second. The word mustard is in this. Are you trying to get some mustard here? And they'd say yes. And I'd say, well, get that out of here. All right. So let's move on to, they do have several salads, and these are pretty standard for the most part. They have a Greek, a chopped salad, a Caesar salad. This place is expensive.
Yeah.
If you didn't know by four pieces of bacon for $15, this place is expensive. Your Greek salad is $16. If you add chicken, it's $5. If you add shrimp, it's $7.
Wow.
The portions, though, are huge. This is a place that I think is great to split. And we should have done that, we'll talk about that when we get to the other thing. But they do have one fall celebration, spinach salad with apples, pears tossed in an aged balsamic, topped with ricotta, salata, and spiced pecans for $15.
That sounds really good.
Sounds very, very good. You have your sides. You've got baked potato, your El Burbank hand-cut fries, mashed potatoes. John had the mashed potatoes last time because he got the meatloaf, said they were amazing. They do have a mac and cheese, which is like four or five different types of cheese, asparagus. I bet that's really good there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into their patented specialties. Mentioned earlier, they have the Edison Burger. This is a blend of sirloin, short rib, and brisket. Is the burger blend, and again $22, but these are hefty burgers. An organic tomato soup and gooey grilled cheese, electric chicken. They have barbecue sirloin tips.
Read the prime rib one.
Salmon. Which was the prime? The
$34, I think.
Oh,
was it?
Yeah, you're right. 28 day dry age prime rib. It's a boneless 14-ounce horseradish black pepper crust, au jus, horseradish cream, and selection of your potato for $34.
Mm-hmm. I was going to get that.
Just kidding. And then I would like to do this in the future, is the fish tacos, which is four corn tortillas filled with a light cabbage and pepper slaw, finished with honey lime vinaigrette and grilled mahi, topped with crema and cilantro with house-made tortilla chips and salsa. That's $23. A buffalo chicken sandwich, the meatloaf and gravy, salmon, pulled pork sandwich. What did you go with for $22?
Well, I was going to get the prime rib, but then I didn't because
I bet that would have been a slab of meat.
Well, and it was
14
later,
ounce, yeah.
And I didn't want to be like you were this morning. So, they had fish and chips on there, and when she came, I asked her. She said, "Any questions about the menu?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually," I said, "Your fish and chips." I said, "So I'm a little spoiled and love Yorkshire at Epcot." I said, do you know if it's similar? And she didn't know, and she didn't eat there, but where did she say she ate? The one near us in Disney Springs, the Raglan Road?
Yeah, Raglan Road. Okay. She said she had them at Raglan Road, and that she thought theirs were comparable.
Right.
And Raglan Road's food is great.
Right. So I knew that, so I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and get them. And they came three big pieces of fish. It is cod. And it was fantastic. I loved all of it.
Compare it to Yorkshire Fish Company. Which do you think was better?
I can't tell you. They were maybe this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Because this one, I'm trying to remember this one. So this one had probably a little more spice.
Mm-hmm.
A little more, because New Yorkshire is more of just a pretty golden, almost clear golden than this one. And I think this one was beer. So I don't know if it's the same at Yorkshire, but
most of them are beer batter. This is unibrow beer, is what they're doing it in.
I thought you were kidding.
No. No, it's not. Yeah, not unibrow like your eyebrows are attached. No, it's a type of. It's like a beer brand. They make. They make the one we used to always get at that hookah bar. Yeah, they make the one we used to always get at that hookah bar. They make the one beer. Remember, we used to always get that one at the hookah bar years ago.
Yep,
that's them.
Okay. Well, it was great, and I would totally go back and get those.
Yeah. Talk chips.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I would want to try something else because our food was so great that I would try something else. So the chips. I don't know if I just got bad batch, the bottom of the batch, the whatever. They're French fries, and I ate two, and then they weren't great. They were just, I guess, a filler per se, and I didn't want to.
Yeah.
And the fish was so good that I just, and I got three big pieces, and I didn't even eat the last one.
Right,
I didn't
even finish it.
I took two bites, I think, from the last one, and I wanted to, but then again, I didn't want to hurt myself or feel sick,
right.
And then knowing that we had to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
But I put the chips aside and didn't eat any more after I had the two because I just didn't like them.
Worth $22? This place, again, is fairly expensive, but you and I could have easily split that meal.
Yeah.
Each had 1.5 pieces of giant fish.
Right.
You know, I mean,
and as much fish as you got and how good it was and how full I was.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say to me it was worth the 22.
Yeah.
But I guess because the chips weren't fantastic, you know, that's unfortunate.
Well, I'll talk about my fries when I get to my dish. But I did
they were
over,
different, correct?
No, they were the same. But I think you're correct in the way yours were done, that you got more of a bottom of the batch. I don't think a lot of yours weren't as thick cut.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of them, the outside was extra golden brown, almost as though they were overcooked, but not burnt. But let's talk real quick, because I forgot about the kids, what the kids had. Because I thought what they initially got was... hilarious, because they got themselves an appetizer, as they said. What did they get as their appetizer?
They got
their fancy.
They got a salad with supposed to be ranch on the side, but it came on it. There's cucumbers and tomatoes.
Yeah, cucumber,
and
different colored cherry tomatoes that are halved, the lettuce.
And Lacey actually...
They ate it up like crazy.
Well, Lacey ended up eating all the Kalen's.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
And then they just went with chicken tenders for their main meal with fries. Now, these are different fries. Yeah, I did take a bite. They were
the chicken.
They were the chicken tenders that you get at Disney when they appear that they are actually hand breaded.
Yeah.
Like these don't come. These probably are frozen, but they don't come off that way. They taste like they're hand breaded. Very, very good. $15.
I think I remember tasting their fries, and I hate to say this.
Theirs were different
fries.
They were more of the thinner cut, a little more traditional Disney style fry.
I liked them better than mine.
Yeah, you did like it better? Really?
But again, I think because you said we had the same fries, I think I just got.
Yeah.
The last crumbs.
Right. And you might have, because I absolutely loved my fry. I think they're some of the best I've ever had.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Like,
so
as far as just a fry goes, without having extra stuff.
What else did you have with your fries?
So, one thing that's really cool that the Edison does, and it's a good reason to follow at Disney Springs, like on Twitter or social media, or even the Edison, is they do a burger of the month. And they have a separate burger every single month, and these are monster creations. And now that we are in November, this one premiered November 1st. I ate it November 2nd. I'm still digesting it November 3rd. But so this is they literally call it their Thanksgiving triple stack burger. And this is great bun, you know, soft bun. And then you've got their turkey burger, which is a good sized turkey burger. This is topped with a homemade stuffing patty. That is then topped with shaved roasted turkey. On top of that are the French fried onions.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of this is topped off with a cranberry relish, cranberry sauce.
And don't worry, guys, we do have video of Jeremy trying to take a
bite. This thing is a monster. And I knew I wanted to get this ahead of time. I love holiday sandwiches. I love the one that Publix has out now. I love the one you get at Earl of Sandwich that's available year-round. So I knew I was going to get this. And I knew it was going to be giant. And I knew I was not going to eat the whole thing. That was the plan. It came down to, I ate 97% of it.
Because it was that good, I'm hoping.
It was absolutely delicious. If you are the person, like I'm the person that takes leftover turkey after Thanksgiving. I love it on white bread or white toast. And I like to then take some of the leftover stuffing and put it on top and put some gravy on it and make a sandwich like that. All these flavors together, they did a really, really good job on this.
Oh, good.
Issue is you're basically getting three sandwiches. You're getting a minus three buns. You're getting a turkey burger.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a roast turkey sandwich. Mm-hmm. And then you're getting a stuffing sandwich.
Mm.
So.
And that's more bread.
That is more bread. So it is almost like two full sandwiches, which again, we always split. I don't eat this much traditionally in a given meal.
Yeah, and he asked me if I wanted a bite, and he loves all this stuff. I do not. When I eat after Thanksgiving dinner, I like bread, salt and pepper, turkey. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. And I like the collection of flavors. This thing is messy. It will get all over you, all over your face, all over your hands. So it's almost one, like, once you pick it up, you're kind of in for the long haul. And you know, we hadn't really eaten that day for the most part. I mean, we went to the Run Expo that morning.
Right. And then we
snacked
at
a little bit at Magic Kingdom, but not a ton. And then we came and ate that. So I think I was, again, it was like eyes bigger than stomach. I did not sleep well last night because I could just feel. Yeah. I could feel this food baby just kicking around in there.
Ugh.
Like, and it was I was just so full. I woke up at like midnight and was like, I am so full. I'm still a little full right now. And we are about 15 hours or so after I ate it.
Oh, my goodness.
I have had nothing else except a banana since then. I'm still almost full.
And you walked.
And I walked 6.2 miles. We are getting ready to head to Epcot, so I'm hoping that I'll get a little hungry so we can finish off some booths and all.
Yes, the cheese soup.
But, yeah, so then another one that is kind of their eye catcher is their dessert, and they have a lollipop tree. And yes. These are cheesecake pops with a bubblegum whipped cream. This is $18 for dessert, but this is, they call it under their desserts for two.
And
you want to explain
four.
This one? Yeah, you want to explain
this
is exactly? The look, the presentation, the taste, all that?
Yeah, it's neat. It looks like a tree. And they're stuck in these holes.
Yeah, it's like a wooden dowel almost. And they've got, yeah.
And then you've got chocolate and vanilla. And then you've got this pink little whip at the bottom of that tree. And I thought it was great. I think the girls enjoyed it. I thought it was really great.
It's one of those again, and I know people probably get sick of me talking about this, especially Rhonda. I still base so many things on price. Like, I think my burger ended up being about $22. It was worth $22.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm like, I understand why this is $22. This was a couple small cake pops that I didn't think were anything special. I liked them, but I liked them if they had been $10 instead of $18. That's kind of crazy.
Go to lunch probably and it's only $10.
Maybe. I doubt it's that cheap. But yeah, I mean, again, it's a unique dessert. They also have like a triple chocolate voltage cake. They have a peach cobbler,
which that passed us and it looked really good.
We went with this because it's the known one, but did you see they had a key lime brulee? That probably would have been awesome with whipped cream. They have a banana split. They have gelato and sherbets. And then under the desserts for two, they have a black cherry cream shake, this lollipop tree, and a great big rocky road shake. So, all right. Overall, impressions, do you want to go back? Do you recommend this?
Absolutely.
Do you like that we went more towards a dinner? Do you think save a couple bucks, go during lunch? What I like about this place is short of when they do start any sort of entertainment, which I do believe is later, it's a place that's kind of enclosed enough that I don't think you'd get a different feel at lunch or dinner, if that makes sense. Like some places, you might have a little bit of a different atmosphere when it's dark outside, even if you're inside. I don't feel like this one was that way because you're downstairs.
Right.
You know, you're not getting all this natural light, really. So I don't know that the feeling would be any different right. in the atmosphere, whether it's daytime or nighttime.
Well, you asked if how I would feel. Because we saw no entertainment, unfortunately, it would have been nicer to pay cheaper price. Yeah. But no, it was great. It was great for dinner, and it would have been neat to see some entertainment. They didn't come around, did a complimentary picture, and then, of course, they were like, do you want to buy some? So, but
we did.
We did. But it was a great picture. I don't know why. It
complimentary
just
isn't complimentary. They came by with like a 1x2 photo and was like, here you go. Here's your complimentary picture. I was like, does it come with a complimentary magnifying glass? Because I can't see it. Looking real quick, actually, the fish and chips are $22, whether you do lunch or dinner.
Oh.
So a lot, some of the pricing is somewhat the same. The burger is the one that's a couple bucks different.
Then I would say do dinner.
Do dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I think it's just it's a great place to go get a handcrafted cocktail. Now, you don't even have to go here and eat. I mean, it's a great place in the evening. This is your late night.
Well, see,
night,
and that's
know?
Actually what I thought either A, I heard, or B, you said it a year ago, maybe because y'all just didn't have a great experience and maybe they were working out the kinks. But I would say no, it is a great place for dinner and drinks.
Yeah, and that's why I'm glad we were able to come back of almost a year later. Mm-hmm. Now, John enjoyed his meal last time. Mine was somewhat of my fault. We had the candied bacon, which again, as I said, 2 pieces good, 2 pieces weren't great.
Right. So that was already a disappointment.
Yeah. Our waiter was decent enough when John and I had it. I got an appetizer. I got a tuna poke bowl as my meal. This was heavy on the poke and light on the tuna when I got it. So for me, I remember I left and I think that's right. I ended up leaving and going and getting wings from Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar because I was starving after eating this minuscule tuna poke bowl, which is no longer on their menu, by the way.
Well, see.
So again, it's one of those where it's like, it was a little bit of what I ordered. I ordered an appetizer for a meal.
Right.
But based on what all their other food looks like, I would have thought that would have been okay.
Right.
So, or like the poke bowl we had over at Nomad Lounge.
Right.
That was a meal.
That was,
you know, with tons and tons of ahi tuna in it. So, but that's where I think it's important, a lot of these places, to always go back. One that we have to do at some point is Frontera Cucina, which we had an absolute horrible experience at and said we would never go back. But I feel like to give, you know, the benefit of the doubt to them, we do need to go back because everybody else raves about the place.
Right.
But these, of course, are always our honest opinions, you know. And if you love mustard and pickles, you know, get your clothesline candied bacon. You get a fruit mostarda and you get sweet and spicy pickles with it. So, and I don't think it need, like, the bacon doesn't need anything.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Absolutely.
They're almost doing a disservice by saying, here's something for you to dip the bacon in.
Right.
You know?
And I did. And, you know, it was pretty good. But, and then, you know, of course, the pickles ate separately. I didn't eat with the bacon.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I like this place. I'd like to go back. I would like to go back and split a meal.
Yeah.
Because there is no need for a human being to eat the size burger that I ate.
No.
I would have liked to have weighed it beforehand.
Ugh. I'm glad you didn't.
But I really liked my fries. I thought, as far as a traditional kind of thick cut fry chip goes, absolutely loved them. Atmosphere is great. Kids enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a different spot. I mean, it's something. Disney Springs is getting more late night stuff. That whole area right there with the Edison and Jock Lindsay's and can I not think of the place that we're doing the Capture the Magic community meetup in? I can't think of the place. They have the great happy hour.
Bar George was
STK. STK is open late night. I think Wine Bar George is open late night.
Yeah,
you've got Boathouse and stuff. So that section is like the haven for food at Disney Springs and all of Disney right now. And I think it's neat that they have some late night stuff. You and I aren't going to go out till 2 a.m., but there are plenty of people that come to Disney with groups, with bachelor, bachelorette parties, with guys trip, girls trip, whatever it may be. They don't have kids. They're used to really, it's been a while, I feel like, till there was a good late night atmosphere. Back when Pleasure Island, still worst name ever for anything. Pleasure Island and Special Sauce, like... Just get rid of those two. But well, thank you. We're going to head to Epcot and try and finish out all the booths.
Yes.
And we will have a...
It's nice and cool here, so I'm excited.
It is freezing cold. It is a balmy 64 at the moment.
Mine says 62.
And then I'm going to go with 58 because it is chilly out there when the wind kicks up. So I bought myself a jacket. You had to buy yourself a sweatshirt just so we could...
Well, no.
You didn't have to.
This is a Run anyway. Disney sweatshirt. Okay.
Fair
well,
enough.
Jersey.
I'm sorry, Spirit jersey.
Yes.
So you have to go. I haven't seen you cheer once. This is like your fifth Spirit jersey.
I cheered today.
You did? Oh, that's true. You did all your... I'll post the pictures of you doing your hand wavy thing for when we do our Run Disney episode here next. But look for a Run Disney episode coming out, which will talk about Wine and Dine Weekend, the good and the bad, unfortunately.
And
we want to talk about some of the virtual races and the virtual running shorts that Run Disney does, as well as some other companies that we actually like and do virtual races at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we are collecting, as my good friend Guy Fieri would say, lots of bling. For our metal rack. So we're going to wrap this one up. If you have not done so already, please go out and leave us a rating and review because
it helps our show grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.